Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Brought your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to go back to the verse that we were in last week. We are in the middle of a collection of talks on Bored with What I Have. And this was really the verse that is surrounding this talk. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says this: "See to it that no one misses the grace of God." See to it that no one misses or fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. It's a widespread epidemic that is by and large taking over our country. It is what I call a powerful force, and it is a powerful force that we refer to as boredom. Boredom. You see it in the church, you see it in marriages, you see it in jobs, careers. People get bored. Everybody say bored. Boredom, though, is not necessarily a bad thing. Listen, boredom is not necessarily a bad thing, okay? It's how we respond to boredom that becomes dangerous. I mean, when we were young, we were kids growing up, y'all remember how it was? You know, we watched cartoons with no sound, Tom and Jerry. Y'all remember? You just watch the cat and the mouse, you know? Crazy stuff. Or we'd go and we'd climb a tree for a couple hours. Then we'd get what? We'd get bored. And we'd run in the house. "Hey, Mom, I'm bored." And she may or may not respond. You may have had a parent like I had who didn't respond, and so you found something else to do on your own. But now we got kids who they just will sit right in the middle of the floor in the living room from the TV. Not at my girls. I've just seen it, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, they sit in the middle of the floor, and they're like, "I'm bored. What you going to do about it? Like, do something for me." Anybody got kids, grandkids like that? Anybody seen a kid like that? Anybody went into Walmart and seen a kid go in freak out mode on their parents like that? So there's nothing wrong with being bored. It's how we respond to boredom that is dangerous to our Christian walk. Okay? Everybody say dangerous. What's so crazy, the reason it's dangerous is because we're surrounded by a culture that puts an emphasis on self-life. Self-life, not shelf life. Self-life. And if you can't make me happy, or if I get bored, I'm going to look for another alternative because it's all about me. Okay? So again, planet Earth, whatever planet y'all from, if they ain't working that way, then great. Let me know how I can get there. But I see y'all here, so y'all must be with me tonight. It's not boredom. It's how we respond. It's how we react that's potentially dangerous. It's how we begin to think that has the potential to change the course of our life. It's how we respond that has the potential to change the course of our life and our destiny. I hope you'll allow me to reconnect here for just a few moments, and then we're going to dive into the rest of this. But I want to reconnect us because we were not here last Wednesday, and we didn't start this. We started this two weeks ago, so I want to hit this. But I made a statement that said, the danger of becoming bored with what I have is that I'm now faced with the decision to walk away from what God has called me to. Whether that's your marriage, whether that's your church, whether that's a career path, whether that's an education path, maybe you're further in your education. When I am faced with boredom, when I become bored, I'm faced with the decision or the opportunity to walk away from what God called me to. That's the danger of being bored. So don't be bored. If you feel like you're getting bored, shake yourself, okay? Now, we'll know it's you in church if you become bored in this message and start shaking yourself. I'll be like, "Are you okay?" We won't come check on you. We'll just be like, "They were bored." But let's face the truth. Let's be perfectly honest. Boredom is a natural response to what we have because we are so inundated by society with the emphasis on everything new. Remember, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Everything new. New house. Got to have a new car. My car is nice, but I would like to have a new car. We like new shoes. We like new jeans. We like new purses. Okay. Moving right along. We like new outfits. We like new phones. Some of us would like to have some new friends. Anybody in the house? New friends. And sometimes even we like to have a new marriage. Why? Because we've become bored with what we have. And now we're faced with the decision, shall I search for another or shall I plow through this? I didn't say run over the person, but plow through and take the roots out and the weeds out and take all the stuff out that's in the way so that you can actually have fruit and a harvest in the garden. Your marriage is the garden. We've been conditioned that if it's new, it's of greater value. It's of greater value. I was thinking about this today. I don't know about, and she's not even here tonight, so y'all don't think that I'm trying to get brownie points, but I was thinking about this. I'm not going to go out and find someone else. Because this emphasis, if it's new, it's greater. I'm not going to go start over with someone else because I value what I have with my wife. I value what I have with her, so it may be new. But you ever had a new car that was a lemon? You had something new that broke, like you had to take it back? You ever seen somebody? I do. You may kiss the bride when you get out. And I'm not talking about your money, but she's broke. He's broke. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about, I didn't see all this. Well, you didn't date but 2 weeks. Now you're married. I'm not, if that was your story, hey, God can do the impossible. But I'm just saying, just because it's new doesn't mean it's of greater value. I value what I have with my wife. I value what I have. Now, but because we've been conditioned that new is greater, has greater value, this is where we as believers get into T-R-O-U-B-L-E, trouble. This is where we get into trouble. Because as Jesus followers, we're in the world, but we're not of it. So we're Jesus followers. We're trying to do better. We're trying to have a house that is being guided by God and make decisions that he would approve of and do all this stuff. But yet we're living in a world, planet Earth, that puts an emphasis on if it's not new, just get rid of it. We got to find something new. Everything is got to have something new. And this is a problem for Christians because we're trying to be better. We're trying to live different. We're trying to do better, right? Yes, amen? This is a Christian church, right? We're trying to do better, but we're living in a world that's putting emphasis on new, and God doesn't necessarily do new things the way the world or the way the culture says this is how it should be. And that frustrates us. That frustrates us. The writer of Hebrews was writing to the church, not on a lost people, saying make sure no one misses out on grace. He's talking to the church. And I asked this question last week. I said, how can somebody who's received grace miss out on grace? You've been saved by faith, by grace through faith. Right? Is that right? Did I say that right? I think so. And so how in the world can I miss out on something that's now mine? Because you get bored with it, and as Galatians says, you set it aside. You cast aside. Basically, it's like somebody who's flippant. There'll be lots of Christians that actually make it to heaven, but they totally just whatever with grace. Just whatever. They were bored with it. Everybody say bored. And if I don't hurry up and get out of this and get into something new, you're gonna become bored. And I don't need to see the whole church shaking here. So let's keep on going right here. I hate that I did that. Something that I've learned in church or in ministry about new, two things can happen in a church concerning new. New will either fill up a church or new will empty a church. Case in point, when we moved here 5 years ago, We were in this section of the room, about 30 people, and probably within a few months, it went up, shot up to over 250 people. Matter of fact, it was another pastor's wife in this city who said, oh, that's cool, they're just the new flavor of the month. I guess she was right. Because see, what will happen is new will cause people to come and find out what's going on. But if they don't like what they hear, they'll take off and start their own, do their own thing, or just go back to where they went. Or matter of fact, they might not go anywhere at all. Somebody says, Pastor B, you're being judgmental. No. What I'm saying is you need to be careful of becoming bored with where you are, because then you've got the decision of, am I going to stay where I am? Or am I going to leave what God has called me to? Somebody say, you jam it. No. I want you to understand that it is dangerous to sit in a church and become bored with the message of the gospel. It's dangerous for you, but it's all, and we're going to see this as we wrap up in a few moments. It's dangerous for those around you when you become bored. Because it matters. It matters. It matters. The desire for new will also leave you alone, empty, and afraid. Oh, I got to have new. Once you get there, it's not what you thought it was. Now I'm lonely. Now I'm frustrated. Now I'm afraid. Now I'm disappointed. It'll also leave you frustrated and bitter. Let's go back to that again. Pull it back up for me, Grace. Daddy's just going to keep going back to that. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So we become a Christian, and we're excited. We gather together, and we learn about Jesus. We sing songs about Jesus. We tell others about the good news about Jesus. By the way, it's the good news that defines our lives, but when we get tired, we just get tired of the good news. And then life happens. See, when you become bored and then life happens, destruction shall follow. Okay? So if you hear nothing else, becoming bored with where you are and what God has you doing, I'm talking to me, is dangerous to your health. Oh, you might make it to heaven, but you're going to spend the rest of your days down here on earth wishing God would take you out and get you there early. Why? Because you're bored and you're frustrated and you're disappointed. So once you become bored, if you let that sit, you'll also become bitter. See, because we know that Jesus is good. It's just that things aren't going good. I'm just going to break it down to where we are, planet Earth. I hope you're with me. Oh, he's good, but things may not necessarily be going good. And because things aren't going good, the news about him just doesn't seem as good. Anybody ever been there? I don't want to be found to be a Christian that, I'm going to worship my hair out when everything's going good. Somebody said, you must have had a lot of good days. But I don't want to hold back my worship when things aren't going good. See, I stand up here every week and see, I can tell when things aren't going good, because it shows in our countenance. And I try to be funny and be like, notify your face, but I'm trying to go, oh, he's talking to me. Yeah, because if you let boredom sit long enough, you'll become bitter and frustrated. And the thief will come. The thief will come. You know what I'm talking about. The gospel is real good when everything's going good. Amen, Brother Bradley. It's great. My wallet's thick. My car's clean. All my kids are out. I'm going on vacation. Praise the Lord. But what happens when the wallet ain't thick and you got five kids still at home, or you got one that moved out and came back? Do you still feel like saying Jesus is Lord? Or people will say, you know, when you've had one of those bad days and life happens and somebody comes up to you, Sally, Susie, and says, I do it all the time, I'm sorry. It's the S. I just jump. People say crazy things like, God is good, and then expect you to say, all the time. But that's not how you really feel when life hits you, does it? You don't want to say, all the time. What you want to say is, not today, and I'm going to need you to step off and get out my face. Ever been like that? Real Christians in the house. See, See, that you don't need to be that way. It doesn't need to be things are going good for you to say, God is good. Things might not be going good, but God is still good. And when you reach in a place in your life when you can say, oh yeah, God's good, and people are seeing that your world is falling all apart all around you, what a message you're telling somebody, that you're speaking to somebody when they can see, man, they should be totally down and out, but they're saying God is still good. Well, sure he is. God is good, even though things may not be going good. Amen? Maybe you should write that down. My God is good, even though my circumstances ain't. So you can pull that up a week from now. You know, when we're on to another collection of talks, and life hits you, and you need to go, yep, he's still good, even though life ain't right now. Amen? Because God is good all the time. He's good all the time. Doesn't mean everything's good all the time. And the church said, oh me. Yes. All right, let's go back again. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. It's the phrase that if you've been around in church a long time, that root of bitterness. We know all about what the root of bitterness. We've heard that term or that phrase growing up in church, and now we insert this concept when we meet someone who is clearly mean. Root of bitterness. You know, you're having a conversation with somebody at work, and they're talking and you know stuff, and all of a sudden they go, and I hate my dad. Something about from a message somewhere long ago shoots up in you and go, ooh, root of bitterness. You got it. Don't point fingers, because I'm sure some of us have had. But that's not the root of bitterness. But that's how we've labeled it. Somebody said, my spouse is getting on my nerves. Ooh, root of bitterness. That's planet Earth. This is what we know and we have learned, and it may be true, just a small portion of it, but it's not exactly what the root of bitterness is. It's not that you dislike that person. It's not that you have unforgiveness in your heart. That's not the root. Everybody say the root. Remember, we're talking about obtaining the grace of God. Somebody said, but I've already got the grace. I'm already saved. Yeah, but there's the potential to lay it down and go do something else. Why? Because you're bored. Well, I can't believe so-and-so slept with so-and-so. I can. You know why? Because they got bored. Well, I can't believe so-and-so left the church. I can. You know why? They got bored. Don't put that responsibility on a pastor or a praise team, because you should know how to eat for yourself. It's not that there's unforgiveness. That's not the root. You've received grace once, but what do you do, or how do you continue to get grace? How do you continue to keep it fresh? I'll tell you how in 2 Peter chapter 3, 18, you just write this down. I'm going to read it for you. Here we go. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I misspelled that. Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace. See, if you're not growing, if you're not coming in here and learning and sharing, it's not just about listening to a great sermon. It's not just about singing great songs. It's about sharing with one another. It's about, hey, I've had a bad day, and my brother, he knows to call me. He, like, it's crazy. I'll get phone calls from people who, and I'm private. I'm a lot like Dad. I'm trying even not to put it on Facebook, but when I start going through things, it's amazing how God will send somebody through a text or a phone call just to check on me, and they have no idea what I'm going through. Now, they used to, because I would blast it on Facebook. I'm trying to be better. Everybody say, be better. Yeah, y'all too. We try to be better. But God will always hook us up. But it's about growing. It's about coming in here week after week and learning and growing and learning and growing. If you ever become bored, then you need to put some new flavor on it. Do something different. That's why I told my kids, I want to be the hippest 60-year-old. I'm not there yet. I'm 42. But I want to be that. Why? Because I always want to be able to connect with people at whatever level they're at. And the same should apply to you. You should be able to connect and reach people at whatever. It doesn't matter if I get 80 years old. If God still allows me to hold a microphone and to share the gospel, I want to make sure that I can penetrate and his word can penetrate through a delivery that a student can still understand. They don't need to get bored. Why? Because they'll walk away from what God has intended them to be a part of. Everybody say responsibility. Responsibility. So we just keep, how do you grow in grace? We just continue to tell the story about Jesus. We continue to tell the story about how God changed our life. We still get excited when we hear somebody, like when we had, what were they called that shared their testimonies, Grace? Teen Challenge. We should, when the young boys and girls came up here and was talking about, I mean, and they're from this area and strung out on drugs and alcohol and all this stuff and selling their body and all this crazy stuff that happens on planet Earth in our city. Something, I was back there and crying because I was like, that could be my kids. That could have been me if not for the grace of God. See, we still got to get excited. When you hear the message of the gospel, it should make you excited. It should make you cry. It should make you shout. It should make you dance. It should make you want to sing. What's that mean to me? How do I translate it? That just means we stick together. We do life together. That's growing in grace. I said it today on Facebook. I said, let come and grow together. We're growing. I'm not saying, oh, I got this figured out and here's how you do it. No, I'm saying this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm working through. Let's learn together. Everybody say together. I never want to get to a place where I stand on a platform and think that I've got it all together, because that's what the moment that not the enemy, but God will take the carpet and go, whoosh, now see how you stand without me. Y'all being real quiet tonight. Everybody say growing together. Yeah. Not just listening to sermons, not just memorizing, but verbalizing. Everybody say verbalizing. Not just memorizing scripture, but verbalizing scripture. Not just memorizing, yes, I was saved, but verbalizing what happened and what took place, even though it might have been 30 years ago, what took place in your life. Because somebody needs to know your story. Somebody needs to know and hear where you came from and who's responsible for it and who's the one that helps and assists you through life when life gets crazy. We need to not just memorize, but verbalize the goodness of God. Not memorize how good he was to somebody else that we'll never meet until we get to heaven, but verbalize how good he's been in your life. If you don't continue to grow in grace, you become susceptible to a root of bitterness. When you say root of bitterness, bitterness is like a toxic bile. Anybody know what a bile is? That the liver secretes. It's toxic. You like don't want it. I know y'all like move right along because I'm getting a visual. Okay. Bitterness is like a toxic bile that the liver secretes. So the root of bitterness is basically, listen, this is why it's important not to get bored, because then you'll become bitter and this is what happens. It's basically a subtle, toxic concept of God that starts to leak into your life, and before long, you have this warped view of God and who God is and what God's all about. If you become bitter, you begin to spring a leak. Spring a leak, whatever. Y'all get it. You leak. And it's toxic to your Christian walk. It warps your view of, well, maybe God really isn't that good because things aren't going that good. No, no, no. God is good regardless of what you're going through. Amen. And you can really see his goodness when you stay the course and walk through it. Then you'll know, yeah, God is good. You're doing damage to the gospel and your testimony when you walk away from not so good circumstances. He is good all the time. So, why was the writer, and I'm getting ready to wrap this up, why was the writer of Hebrews writing to the Christian church? because they came through this season of peace. Everything's going great. Remember what I said at the beginning? When things are going great, yeah, we love to worship, but when things aren't going good, we just come in like, oh, okay. Yeah, you sing, Pastor B. They came through a season of peace. And it's important to understand that when times get bad, that it's when that is when we get leaks in our view of God. See, he wrote to them because, go ahead, Grace. He wrote to them because things were not so good anymore. The reason he was writing these things is because they were now being persecuted and tortured and killed and crucified. That's why he was saying, don't let boredom slip into your life. Don't let boredom slip into your life because you'll become bitter and frustrated. And there's some people in here tonight that may have frustration. Maybe you haven't reached the point of where you're leaking yet, bitterness. But you're frustrated because I say you're good, God, but I'm still. You know, his word even says that things might get worse. See, God didn't always make things good. He might make things worse, but not in the end. In the end, it's all good. Everybody say all good. It's all good. Stay the course. When times get bad, that's when we begin to get leaks and our view of God changes. And we start to wonder, since things are going bad, is God always good? It could be your job. It could be your marriage. It could be relationships. We could get bored in all other areas, but tonight I'm talking about you. Are you bored with where you are and what God has you doing? The job you have isn't by accident. The path that you're on in this life, it's not by accident. We're all learning and growing together. The importance of not setting aside the grace of God. Because if we do, we will become susceptible to a root of bitterness or a toxic view of God. Listen, the enemy's plan has never changed. The enemy's plan is to separate, divide, cause division. That's his role. To separate you from other believers. Why? Because there's strength in numbers. Everybody say, you always put an emphasis on numbers. Absolutely, because there's strength in numbers. That doesn't mean everybody in the room is strong. That just means everybody in the room may be weak. But when we recognize our weakness, it's through our weakness that we are made strong. It's in our weakness that God can use us. Because if we've got it all together and we look big, bad, and strong, God doesn't want to use that because then the attention gets shifted on the big, bad, and strong. But when it's somebody whose life is a wreck and they go, but my God is greater and my God is stronger. He will never fail me. Think about Job, all that he went through. Or maybe where you are in life. What if he turned the dial just a little bit hotter on your life? Listen, life will touch all of us. None of us can escape tragedy and bad times in life. It will touch us all. But what if God chose tonight to turn yours up? How would that affect your life? That's for you to answer. And if it's to, hey, strap up the shoelaces and take off and jet, maybe you just need to sit. Stop running. At the end of that verse it said, if the bitter root grows up, it will cause trouble and defile many. What happens when we become bored? We become frustrated and we become bitter. And it will first affect the community of believers, and then it will affect the community that we live in. You want to see a change in the community? Change starts with us. You want to see change in your church? Change starts with us. You say, I'm bored. What are you doing to change it? I don't like where I live. What are you doing to change it? I don't like the people I work with. What you doing to change it? Well, I'm trying to get them fired. Be careful, because you might be going out the door before they are. So in the last 3 minutes, anybody here tonight, just no altar call, just recognizing. It may be in the last 24 hours. It may be in the last 7 days. It may be as frequent as 30 minutes before you came in here tonight. Anybody say, you know what? I want to stand and just recognize I have an issue of frustration, possibly bored with where I am in life. You put the label on what that is. And that's none of our business, and we're not judging because I'm standing. And there may be a seed of bitterness in me. And I just want to recognize that it's there so that God can see my honesty tonight. And then I'm going to ask God to remove that seed of bitterness, because I don't want to become susceptible to the strategies and schemes of the enemy to derail me from my destiny. Is that you tonight? Would you stand? Frustrated? Maybe an ounce of bitterness. Not saying you're mad or angry, but how do I know? Because you at some point have become bored with where you are, what you have. And God wants to uproot that root. And tonight, He's doing it. What was the importance of standing? It's an honesty with yourself, recognizing, yes. Because a lot of times you can go to a counselor or somebody, and they'll be like, through listening to our conversation, they'll go, I think you have a problem with this. And you can be like, nah, you missed it, buddy. Somebody who's been educated and paid a lot of money to be able to read people. Nah, you missed it. There's something incredible about when you stand and say, I'm recognizing this. And tonight is gone. Tonight it changes. How does it change? It's not just Him uprooting. It's getting in His Word. It's growing in grace. It's telling people. It's telling family. It's telling each other. It may be a bad week for me. And Scott, somebody else needs to come up and share the word, because I'm having a bad week. We share the word with each other. That's how you grow in grace. And I think, to me, what grace is, it's that, what's that root killer you spray? Roundup. That's what grace is. It rounds up all that bitterness and all that anger and all that frustration. That's what He's doing. That's what I feel like He's doing in the Spirit tonight. As we grow in grace. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. God, I thank You for it.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.